Jim Wadsworth from Warren. I'm still a novice in this wind power business, but I've been trying to educate myself a little bit. And one of the things that keeps coming up on the offshore wind is what happens when the wind blows more than 50 miles an hour and the windmills don't work in that condition. And I'm just curious whether testing them inshore will actually answer that question. And I'm wondering if that is something the developers might be concerned about. I don't know if anybody can answer that question or not, but that was one question. Is that still a concern, that 50 mile an hour ceiling?
I think there's a variety of different discussions of what the high end is. The most of the technology is built to control the RPMs. They only spin so fast and so much power you get out from that through gearing. It's well known in Europe that when you shut them down. And so that's still an ongoing discussion, is how you get to bigger turbines. We're hearing, 6 to 10 megawatt turbines, bigger blades, more power output, and how do they survive in that environment. So some of the testing and evaluation is really the interaction between the wind tower and the floating platform and how that behaves in those conditions. Some of the stuff that we're looking at from the university is that if we go with a smaller prototype, how does that scale? What's the equivalent 50 mile an hour wind at a scale? What's the equivalent wave at a scale so that we can better understand that performance before you go to the bigger ones?
Probably a dumb question, but do they actually have to be out there to turn it off, or can they do it from land?
It can all be done remotely. Yeah.
Okay.
I
wondered also, the wind power that's being produced by the terrestrial wind farms in the state now, what's happening to that? Is that being bought by CMP or by Bangor Hydro, or is that being used in state, or what is happening with that?
Well, I don't know who they negotiated contracts with, each mm-hmm. one of these developers. So they could be selling. I know some of it is, I think they're contracts with local entities, and they're probably selling some out of state. But as you probably know, the electrons are different from the contracting party. The electrons will be local. So if you live in Mars Hill, your electricity is coming from most likely the Mars Hill wind farm when it's spinning. That doesn't mean that that's who the contract is with, however.
In the paper Sunday, there was talk that CMP needs this $1.5 billion upgrade to turn the grid into a smart grid. Is that accurate? Or
CMP has, you're talking about their transmission line proposal?
Yeah.
Right. It's a reliability. It's been built as a reliability project, but it would also allow more wind to come onto to their system.
And I think it said in there that ISO New England had already approved that, and that the cost of it was going to be
shared among all ratepayers of New England.
All ratepayers of New England.
Maine pays about 6%.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, I don't know how the, it seems like these developers are all looking for a big pile of money from the federal stimulus money, and I'm not saying the ocean wind developers are doing that, but it looks like a lot of the terrestrial developers are, and this Evergreen company got $115 million, and it sounded like they submitted a proposal, and a month later they had $115 million in their account. And I don't know who determines who gets this money, but it sounds like a pretty good deal for some of them.
It's not us.
Something beyond our pay grade.